Alléluia. Kariba Shintaraba Suntarabusha. Lord, we worship you. Sintraba Talabashanta Kakadivisame. Don't I be prayed? Kiriba Shintaraba Santalabasinta. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Kiriba Shantarabasinta. Now I'm so excited, going back to this morning, we went into the holy place, and this is what makes me excited. I've shared so many times the messages that other churches do as they preach in the inner court. Every message comes from the inner court. But this morning, Pastor Keith took us from the inner court into the holy place where God moves. And if we stay in the holy place, I know that this place is going to be on fire. Amen. This place will be on fire. Many years ago, they had Nikki van der Westen, and they had a revival service in Port Elizabeth in the stadium. And there was so much fire of the Holy Spirit that the fire engines came and thought the stadium was on fire. And that is my prayer for us. Amen. That they will think this church is on fire. And the fire engines will come, the fire brigade will come to see, I want to put the fire out. And this is my heart. And Lorraine and I were very excited today. Because this is where we come from. What we had this morning. And my heart cries out for more and deeper walk with God. That we may get there where we can enter into the Holy of Holies, into His presence. And God can just move by His finger, just pick the word, and we will know that we have met with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. A message tonight, I don't think it's going to be very long. I just give what's on my heart. I don't want to put anything with, because then it's not in line with what I believe we've got to have. Our title tonight is, Can These Bones Live? Our text tonight is from Ezekiel 37, verse 3. And our whole message is concerning Ezekiel 37. He said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Ezekiel 37 is the most utterly serious chapter in this whole prophecy of Ezekiel. This young priest was in a situation where he looked at his people and the bondage in Babylon. His heart cried out for his people. And he just did not know what will happen. Because he looked at his people and he was just despondent of what was going on. Then God took him to an unusual scene that he had never seen before. And so many times God brings us unto that area where we stand on the cliff and we don't realize that He's brought us to this place that God wants to speak to us and what God wants to affect our lives with His Holy Spirit. And then when Ezekiel was obedient to the call of God and he came to the cliff and he stood and he looked, something incredible happened. There was a scene was a valley filled with disjointed, blocking human bones. What was happening, there was coming four winds from the north, east, and the west, and the south that covered this valley. Mysterious winds swept across that eerie boneyard. A fantastic thing started to happen. Bones came together. Sinew stretches like elastic across them. And then flesh appears. Blowing winds entered into the nostrils of those skeletons. Those lifeless bodies suddenly stood up and became alive like a mighty army. And then they stood up on their feet. And Daniel, I keep on thinking of Daniel. Ezekiel was amazed at what happened. What have we to do with this story? You know, we have so many times this thing about the bones, the dead bones, jokes have been made, songs have been made. We have composed songs and hilarious things that happen. We used to sing about those bones, and we used to love it in the olden days. But I feel tonight that, in short, that is the most important part that we have to look at. And we have turned Ezekiel's most serious prophecy into a joke in many ways. Tonight, I want us to forget about the head bone that connected with the neck bone and the ankle bone with the foot bone. The microscopic of biblical interpretation, let us look at what really happened to see if we cannot discover that true happening that happened and lasting message in Ezekiel's vision that he had from God. You see, when Ezekiel stood there by the cliff, he looked to his left, he looked to his right, and there was no movement. As far as he could see, there were dried bones of soldiers that died many years before. He looked and he saw death. He saw nothing, nothing of life, nothing of interesting things that could be there. Like I said, no movement. There was no sound. No indication of life at all. There was no wind, not a breeze. Just abandoned, forsaken, at a stillness. And he stood in that valley and he just looked, and there was nothing. But first, what happened was, there was a question. The Lord Jehovah, who was Ezekiel, said from four directions, asked this question to the stunning prophet. And he said, "Son of man, you're looking at these bones, can they live?" So many times we like Ezekiel stand in a situation in our life and we look at a problem, we look at things before us and we think it's never going to happen. It's never going to come right. Things are not going to happen in the future. We look at dead bones, we look at dead situations in our work, in our families, in our health, wherever we might go. There's no hope and there's nothing. I want to also paraphrase this. God might have said something. I want to give you my idea of how we see it. God might have said something like this. Ezekiel, you've got the picture. You have had a grand tour of what I wanted you to see. You have seen this whole valley filled with bones that look like it's all dead. Now, Ezekiel, what do you think? Do you catch even the faintest glint of hope here? Do you think that there is any chance, any possibility of these bones that could come to life again? See, what God was doing? He was pushing Ezekiel's mind because he had a fantastic imagination. God was asking, do you think that these things are going to happen? You've seen what you had to see. You experienced what there was to experience. How do you see these things? Suddenly this young man, but this is with his mind, what imagination, began to let God push this question through his mind, through his body, and he started to understand what God was talking about. Again and again, that word just rang through his ears. What do you see? What do you see? Ezekiel, what do you see? Then like the slowly rising of sun, like the gentle upfalling of a rosebud early in the morning, Ezekiel started to see what God wanted him to see. Suddenly those dry bones, which were bleached and dead, began to take an eerie and familiar resemblance. He suddenly started to look at the bones and recognize what he was looking at. Then, the long Ezekiel allowed the Spirit of God to work in his life. With this scene, the more he began to perceive the painting that God had in store for him. So many times when we said to God, we can't understand these situations. We have this problem. God says to us, what do you see? Do you see life or do you see death? Do you see my glory or do you just see plain happenings in your life? So many times we get to the stage where we just see dead things in our life. We We don't listen to the Spirit of God. We don't listen to the voice of God when He tells us what to do and what not to do. So we find that these bones, staring skulls, began to look like familiar resemblances, like His own people back in the pagan land of Babylon. He suddenly realized that is what His people were like in Babylon. They were all dead. They were all dead to the move of God's Spirit. They were all dead to the power of God. They were all dead to the anointing of God. And he said, "Oh Lord, this must be how you see them. While they were physically alive and active in this world, they are spiritually dead." How many people do we see today in their own town, in their own family's life? People are dead spiritually. There's no life in them. They're dead. But they're physically, they're doing things. Physically, they're prospering. They're living the life. They're doing what's expected to be done. But we see that they're completely dead and there's no life in them. They're spiritually dead, not being able to move by the Spirit of God. And he said, "And now, God, you ask, can these bones live?" And he said, "Oh my God, only you know that. Only God knows in your situation and mine that where things look bleak, things look dead, only God knows if there's going to be life or there's going to be death. If we stand by faith and we say, 'Lord, you know what is best.'" I'm standing many times at that, I'm still standing at this cliff and I'm looking at the future. And I used to say, "Lord, but there's nothing." And when I read through this, I realized God is saying to me, "Frank, what do you see? What do you see in the future? What do you see for the ministry? What do you see what I want to do in your life? Do you see death? Do you see dry bones? Or do you see life? Those dry bones, those dead situations coming to life, turning into something that's worthwhile." My answer from a human standpoint is, "Oh Lord, no." We look at sometimes, we say, "No Lord, it can't live. It's impossible. There's no way that these situations can change to become something worthwhile. There's no way that finances can come in. There's no way that we can get through this drift in our situations and our circumstances. Where life seems dull and life seems lifeless. We so many times that we say, "Death has won in this valley, Lord. The grim reaper is supreme here. But I have learned a long time ago, Lord, that your ways are not our ways. And that your power exceeds our power." God is mightier and powerful. Our thoughts and our plans and our ideas doesn't match up with God. He said, "My ways are not your ways. My plans are not your plans. My timing are not your timing." So many times we get despondent because we want things to happen. "Well, let it happen today. Let it happen tomorrow." But God just steps back. He says, "No, not time yet. Because my timing and your timing are not the same. You know, we like instant stuff to happen. Lord, we want that and we expect it, bam, to be right there immediately. But God wants to test our faith. God wants to know, how do we see the situations? How do we see the areas around our lives? That what is happening and what is going to go on? Only you and me hold the answer to that question. This brings us to the human dilemma that Ezekiel found himself in the symbolic vision that God had given him. Let us just examine a couple of things that we know, but I just want to bring it to your mind. What is spiritual death? Spiritual, if you talk about spiritual death, it's a figure of speech. Spiritual death is not a medical report. Or a person who is spiritually dead may be vibrant with physical health and energy. But you've seen people, I've seen people, when you look at them, they look like a corpse. They're moving around, they do things. But there's no sparkle. There's no life in them. They're just like a mummy walking around, like a zombie, doing things and moving around. We think of somebody that might be intellectually brilliant and successful. Yet spirit just far from relationship with God makes us concerned. So many people are so far from God that you think God will never be able to reach them. God will never be able to do things. So many times the problem looks so big like Table Mountain and we think we'll never get around it. We never get victory in our lives. You know, it describes someone who has basis of genuine hope. No hope unless he responds to the Spirit. There's no hope for you and for me, or for anybody else, unless we respond to the Spirit of God. This morning we responded. This morning we allowed the Holy Spirit to move. This morning we said, Holy Spirit, come and do that, God, that the glory of God will be moving into this place. And God turned us upside down. Just the beginning of what happened. It's the beginning of what's coming. If we allow the Spirit of God to move like God wanted it to move. What about Ezekiel's people? If you had asked them, do you believe in God? They would have reported with a shrug on their shoulders, yeah, we believe in God. Statistics reveal, if you ask 90% of South Africans, do you believe in God? What would they say? Yeah, we believe in Him. We believe in God. But now let us look at our neighbors. Here's a man holding down responsible work, responsible position. He earns a good salary, living in a comfortable home, driving a nice car. Everything is just great. He's never been in jail, nor been involved in a scandal. He doesn't drink, or at least not to excess. He doesn't use narcotics. He's faithful to his wife, and he provides for his children. The perfect man, doing what is going to be right. Perfect woman, exactly what the world standard says. You've got to do that, and you've got to do that. You know, they say that long time ago, a man, he joined the church. But today he will tell you, with quite a disarming smile, well, church is fine. My wife and my children, they attend church. It is not so really important to me at all. But don't get me wrong, I think it's a good that those who need it. Yet Ezekiel described his friends and neighbors as a collection of dry bones. He looked at his friends, he looked at his relationship, he looked at the people in Babylon, and he realized they were all dead. Dry bones, away from God, dead on the Spirit, not moved by the Spirit of God. So many times people come to church, and there they sit in the church, and after the service they go home, but they haven't been moved by the Spirit of God. They haven't been touched by what God wanted them to be. But in the years of the captivity in Babylon, if we look at the history of Babylon, the history of Israel, in the time of when they were in captivity, they had become comfortable and some materialistic successful. If you look at the history of what happened in Babylon, they were given the freedom to start their businesses. They had the freedom to provide for themselves, provide for their families. They were learning to love that pagan land. They loved Babylon because that was the land that we loved, because that is where we looked after. In archaeology, discoveries have been confirmed as indications of Hebrew prosperity in Babylon. When I wrote my dissertation on biblical archaeology, I took one of the parts of Babylon and what happened there. And some of the Jews were so rich, they were stinking rich, that when, by the time that they were given freedom to go, they decided to stay in Babylon. Because they were too well looked after, and they had everything that they needed and they desired. So in the midst of this hopeless situation, in the midst of the situation that Ezekiel found himself, and he was despondent, God spoke again. He said to the distressed prophet, Ezekiel, preach to the wind. What a humbling experience it must have been for Ezekiel. He did not know what he said, but the winds responded. You see, God said to speak to the winds of the north, the south, the east, and the west. Prophesy over your people. Prophesy the word. Speak the word. And this is the way that God is talking to us today. When we are in a situation with circumstances, we have to speak to the north, the south, the east, and the west. We've got to speak of those things that were not as if they were. Things that we know that we hope for. Hope with a desire. We've put our faith in for God to move. We've got to say, Lord, these things are there. We see them. We see them in the spiritual realm. We pray that you will just move by our things. That the things that we prophesied, the things that we call upon God will become manifest. In your life and in my life. We need those things to become manifest. We need to get closer to God and move by His Spirit and move by His power. Gently at first, when he started to prophesy to the wind, it was like a whispering zephyr, just a little breeze coming through. They blew across a valley of bones. Slowly that velocity increased, and you could suddenly feel the wind moving. And when I looked at that, I thought at Bloemfontein, when we were sitting there in the sun, and there was nothing. And the Spirit of God started to move, and we could feel the wind moving around the place. And the more we prophesy, the more we praise God, the more we worship God, the stronger the winds became. The winds reached gale force intensity as they rushed through those bones. God's power will move in this place like we've never seen in our lives before. If we experience the glory and the power of God, we allow the Holy Spirit to move like a wind, we will feel the experience, the power and anointing of God like Ezekiel saw. Then where there's death, there will be life. Things will change. Things will come into place where God wants it to be. You see, what did Ezekiel see? He saw his miracle. The bones began to move. There's suddenly a movement in the bones. One bone found another bone. Out of chaos and hopelessness and despair, there came another and a purposeful meaning. Things started to happen. Things started to move. You see, out of the impossible, the possible became. When things seem impossible, God makes it possible into that thing. Where there's chaos, God brings order. Where there's heartache, God brings joy. Where there's despondency, God brings life and an abundance that He wants to bring. God wants to move and He wants to do things for us. Then as the speechless Ezekiel watched, he couldn't say anything. He just looked amazed at what was happening. Suddenly those dead bones that he looked at started to move and started to come to life. When he saw the sinew and the flesh came upon the bones, that the bones had come together to form skeletons and a purpose for a design. They lacked cohesiveness and unity until the sinews and the flesh appeared. Things started to happen. But like I say, wait a moment. Although a fantastic transformation took place, something very vital was missing in that situation. These perfect bodies were still lifeless. They stood up and there was no life in them. Everything was except that which spelled to the difference between life and the difference between death. What was short? The breath of God or the Spirit of God. In our situations, we need to get the breath of God, the Spirit of God to move within us. We need the anointing. We need the filling of the Spirit. That the Holy Spirit will affect your life completely. That He will set us on fire. Ezekiel's people in Babylon knew the Hebrew Scriptures. They weren't illiterate. They knew the Scriptures. They knew the law. They knew what they had to do. They had the institution for religion over divine life itself. But they were still victims of spiritual death. What did God say? Preach to the winds, Ezekiel. Breathe on those bones, those bodies, wind of God. And once again, those winds started to move and filled the bodies and nostrils and the lungs of those beings that were dead. And what did Ezekiel see? He saw them stand up onto their feet. They stood up on their feet in ranks, companies, battalions, as a mighty army for God. As a mighty army that God needs. That's needed today, that men and women must stand up and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Men and women to stand up for God and not be afraid for the gospel of Jesus Christ. As I come to my conclusion, the Spirit gives life. Without the Holy Spirit, there's death. If we don't allow the Holy Spirit to take control of our lives, completely, 100%, we're going to lack in our lives. We're going to lack in our situations. We're going to lack in our circumstances. The songwriter said, all is vain And as the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. A service means nothing until the Holy Spirit comes down and God's power moves within the people. We can preach from morning until night, but if the Spirit and the anointing and power of God is not there, then we're wasting our time. We're wasting God's time. What is this application today to us? We also have the superstructures. We have the bones, we have the sinew, and the flesh. We have the institution to worship God, the organizations, and the intellectual know-how. The impact of the church is the communities on the world is weak. The effect of the church in the world is weak. The church is asleep. The church is lying like dead bones. The church is ineffective in many ways. And when I talk about the church, I'm not talking about us, but the church in general. So, otherwise, you think, hey, I'm saying that we're dead and we're useless. We are not. We're alive and we're excited about what God is doing. The influence of many Christians to those associated with is heartbreaking ineffective. How effective are we at our workplace? How effective are we with our family and our friends that are unsaved? How effective are we when we have to go around and see people? We walk between the dead. It's like walking in a graveyard. We walk between the dead and we see them, but there's no joy, there's no life, there's no excitement. We have responsibility. Like Pastor Keith said this morning, when we walk, the anointing and the power and the glory of God must affect those people's lives. They must be affected by what God does in their life. They must be affected by the anointing and the power. So when they come in contact with God, with us, the anointing and the power that's within us, they must say, there's something that you've got that I haven't got. We need that what you have got. The church needs desperately to become alive, breathing, pulsating with the Holy Spirit of God. We as a nation, we lie in the battlefield for most part of his, like Ezekiel's prophecy. When we look at our nation, we look at our people around us, in a town, they're lying like a battlefield that the dead corpses are just lying. There's no life. But you see, all is not lost. There is hope. The strength of spiritual death can be taken away by the wind of God's Spirit moving among us. Let us allow the Spirit of God to move around us. Let us allow the Spirit of God to filtrate us, to fill us from the top of our heads to the soles of our feet, continuously 24 hours a day. Lord, let your Spirit move. Let your Spirit do that what you want him to do. Let your Spirit just affect our lives. That we don't have to stand like Daniel, like Ezekiel, by this valley and we look down and we see dead bones. We look at our families, we see dead bones. We look at our friends, we see dead bones. Look in our nation, we see dead bones, but we do not doing anything. But God is telling us now, speak to the north, speak to the east, speak to the south, speak to the winds, that God's Spirit can move. When we speak the word, we speak the promises of God, we speak the truth of God, and those winds start to move, things are going to happen. Things are going to happen. In this building, in this church, things will happen if we allow the Spirit of God to move by its power and by its anointing. We can go on, go church, we can pray. I know Pastor Keith's heart, crying out, I can sense it, I can taste it. But if we as people of God don't allow the Spirit of God to touch us, to change us, I want change. I look at myself and I don't want to examine and be critical of myself, because when we're critical, we tend to break ourselves down. But we know that we have tasted of the glory of God. We said this morning, between Lorraine and I, we said, you know, this is where we came from. This is the type of service we had. We got so empowered by the Spirit, so touched by the Spirit, that I could remember the one evening after the service, I was sitting next to the pulpit. My tie was skewed, my hair was all mixed up, my shirt was hanging out. The Spirit just took me and I've danced in the Spirit. I know what it is. My heart is crying out for it. I need God to move in our lives. That this place will be packed with people seeking after God. This place will be packed with people having a hunger and a thirst after God's righteousness. But God is talking to you and to me. What do you see? And when you see what I want you to see, speak to the winds, and the power and the anointing of God will fall. And it will set this place on fire for the kingdom of God. And when the fire is here, the fire moves by its strength and by its power, then Krugersdorp will set on fire. Then Gauteng will be set on fire. Then fire of God will spread. You know when fire spreads, it goes. And the wind blows, and the anointing blows, and the power blows. We'll set this nation on fire for God. But this starts here by us. What do you see? Son of God, daughter of God. Do you see life, or do you see death? It's your choice. It's my choice. If we're going to speak to the fire, if we're going to speak to the winds, we're going to speak to God and say, Lord, I see those things. Let us see the anointing. Let us see the fire. Let us speak those things into being that were not as if they were. And God will be faithful and honor that we will do. Because if Ezekiel can experience it, and God can take him to a place where God can move with his spirit, so he can take us to a place where the space will be packed. And God will move, and it won't be one service. It will be 3-4 services a day on a Sunday. That God will touch the people. The healings, the anointing, and the power, and the working miracles will take place like we've never seen before. Your choice and my choice. Son of man, what do you see? Amen. Thank you, Pastor.